what changes are you seeing from him from the end of last year to where he's at the start of this season?
I think what you're looking at is a second year in a system where Peyton is running it and the players around him are understanding it thoroughly. And you're watching a system right now offensively that really is hitting on all cylinders. They are very efficient. They're executing their offense to a very high rate right now. The running game's going. Peyton is distributing the ball all over the place to the open receiver, to whatever coverage you're presenting. So I think you just see year two of guys settling into a system and playing together and really working together.
So the teams that do relatively well against him, what do they do?
You know, I've studied a lot of different defensive coordinators and how they tried to stop Peyton, and this offense is carried over from Indianapolis. I think the biggest thing about playing well against Peyton Manning is really, it's a simple thing, is that the executing of your techniques within your call. He has seen every coverage you can throw at him. He sees disguises and people holding on to their two shell and dropping down late every week. Everybody's always got something. The teams that beat him executed a very high rate their defensive techniques, and they get the turnovers. Turnovers are a part that if you're going to have success against a Peyton Manning offense or slow it down at least, turnovers are a huge part of that equation. He hasn't turned the ball over. So, again, they are really operating at high efficiency.
Guys who were part of a team here, I guess, in 2010 mm-hmm. that did pretty well.
Yeah.
Kerr played in that game. Nate played in that game. Trent. Anything to gain by that film? Obviously, a lot's changed. But, I mean, they did pretty well against them in that game.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that last year in Cleveland with Coach Geron, who was part of that staff, that was part of that. And we put a plan together largely off of what they did in Philadelphia with Sean McDermott. So I've studied that plan thoroughly and implemented parts of it. And really, you go back and look at all the teams that have had success against Peyton offense, and you try to see what they do, and they're all running the same coverages. There's really nothing new. You're not inventing coverages out here, but it really is about how you're putting some pressure on them, that you have to get around him and not let him get in rhythm like most offenses, and then the way you play your coverages, you have to be on point, and you've got to be where you're supposed to be and doing it. Technique the right way in order to have success against him.
More changes at the line of scrimmage once you've set up than any other quarterback?
Absolutely. You know, he's a coach on the field that is saying, okay, here's your look. I'm going to put our offense in the best position and the best play. And then even within that play, if it's a pass play he chooses, he knows the coverage and he knows the weakness of that coverage. Every coverage you call is designed to take something away, but you give something else up. Sometimes you take away the run, but you give up some you weaken yourself in the passing game. Well, Peyton has a great understanding of what that defense is strong at and weak at, and he just puts the ball where you're letting them put it. He takes what you give him down after down, and then they do a great job of running after the catch. So our tackling is a big part of this, the success of this game, as well as playing our techniques.
When you talk about the way that he's executing the offense, I mean, they really have four premier pass catchers, the three receivers, and now also the tight end. What kind of problems does that present for a defense when you're trying to figure out which one you want to stop?
Well, usually you have a main guy that's the part of the offense, you know, a star that you can load up and take him away. Peyton makes you defend the field. He's got all his guys. There's a bunch of very high-quality skill position, and he distributes it equally. There's not one person he favors. He takes what the defense allows him to take, and those guys do a great job of catching the ball and then making plays after the catch. So we've got to defend the field.
Walker specifically, I mean, he's been so good in the slot for now two teams. I mean, what does he do that's made him so good in that position?
He's got great quickness and understanding of defense. Again, he's got a great football IQ. He manipulates the zones. He, too, reads the zones, and he knows the soft spot in the zone, and he's very quick and shifty. So if you're in man coverage, he's turning you around and really attacking the leverage that you're playing with. And in zones, he knows where the soft spot is in zones. And that comes to, you know, 8 or 9 years experience of playing with Brady and now Peyton, where he's really the key guy in their 11 personnel in that slot spot.
How do you get your guys to not be in awe of a guy like that, go on a field and do what they're supposed to do and play their game when they know they're looking at a first-team Hall of Famer, or first-ballot Hall of Famer?
Well, one of the great things about coaching or playing in the NFL is these challenges. A week like this where you're playing against really the best quarterback on the planet right now, the way they're playing, the high efficiency that they're playing at, And the players and coaches both, we have pretty solid egos ourselves, and we're not going to back down from any challenge. And our players in the locker room are very anxious to accept the challenge, and let's go see what we can do against a great offense. They've earned all the respect they're getting. They've earned all the accolades. They are really doing a good job, and now we get an opportunity to go and try to stop that progress they're making.
In the past time when you had a scheme as either a coordinator or as assistant on staff that really did seem to work against them?
Well, in Arizona, we held them to 7 points in the first half, and we really felt good about what we were doing. He figured us out, and it ended up being 31-13 or something at the end of the game. We lost. So there are moments that you I guess you can never relax against Peyton, because you have four quarters to play against him no matter what the score. And he is constantly grinding on figuring out what you're doing. And you can fool him for a little while, then he figures it out. Most people try to move the target on him a little bit, change up what you're doing. At the end of the day, though, whatever it is you're doing, whatever that coverage is, the execution of that coverage kind of overrides you moving it around to where he can't figure it out, because he has seen all of them. He's played so long, there's only so many ways you can, you know, deploy your coverage. And when he figures it out, he knows where to go with it. And that's the challenge with Peyton.
What stands out to you about that game? I mean, what were you thinking about trying to do going in? What didn't work?
Well, without giving it, I don't want to go too much into detail on that, but I've looked at it hard, and I've looked at people who have had success and trying to take away the things I did learn without sharing them with you, because I don't want to give away any part of our plan. But I learned a lot of lessons in the two times. We were in San Francisco and played them pretty well, too. But there were different things and elements that we took from that. But basically at the end, and I looked at all the notes from after the game, it basically came down to when we executed our coverages the way they're supposed to be executed, we succeeded. And when we didn't, he finds your mistakes. And I think that's probably his greatest attribute, is finding where you go wrong.
Bill, can you get too exotic in trying to defense him rather than just playing fundamentally sound?
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the mystique that goes with Peyton. You try to get too cute, and you get away from technique football and advantage to him. So he really does have people on their heels, but you just have to have a confidence about your scheme, a confidence about your ability, a really single-minded focus on getting your technique done one play at a time, and just play as well as you can play one single play at a time, and don't get outside of ourselves, and I think we'll be fine.
In the past few weeks, Bill, Donnie Avery and Royal beat you with the run after the catch and some of the soft stuff underneath and getting blocking downfield. What went wrong, and how do you fix that?
There were two third and longs. You'd love to be in third and 17 and third and 19. They ran a simple wide receiver screen underneath, and they blocked all the other receivers. We simply had to get off blocks and make plays. They ran it twice. We talked about it after the first one. Denver also runs that very same wide receiver screen. It's just an underneath screen. It's like a lot like a running back screen. Same thing with running back screens. When you have numbers back, it's just about getting off blocks and making the tackle before they get to 16, 17. You know, they call it on long yardage. We didn't get off the field on those plays. They out-executed us on those two. It's not a schematic problem. It's not even – we just have to – those two plays, they were better than us.
There's a lot of talk about the first 3 weeks. What do you guys need to do better specifically in the secondary?
It's the same things about what we have to do against Denver. We have to play our individual techniques better. We are, right now, if you look at the first three games defensively, there are times that we play third down very well, and there was times we played it awful. There's times we've been in a red zone and been great. We've responded to adversity last week, and it was off the charts. I was so proud of the guys, the way they went out there and handled the adversity and turn it into a positive force. Then there's times we don't. We are too inconsistent in every little phase right now. We're still in that growth process where we have to play the techniques of every coverage better than we're playing them, and probably the better word is more consistent than we're playing them. And as soon as we hit that consistency mode, we're going to be right where we want to be. I mean, right now we're too inconsistent.
They seem to want to run the ball too. I mean, nobody really talked to them. They got some good backs, and they seem to want to establish that, so people can't just drop everyone back. How important is it to take that dimension out when you're devoting so many resources to Peyton?
Again, Peyton right now at the line of scrimmage is checking in and out of run games and pass games on what you present to him. And when he runs the ball when you give the most the best chance for his run to work, and that's what you move in and out of. And I think right now, like I said, they are very efficient, and he is putting them in those plays. And when you have the light box, he's running the ball. When you have the heavy box, he's throwing the ball. Sometimes he's throwing you off and different. You could have a heavy box and he'll still run it. But he's really calling the plays at the line in a great fashion, and we have to stop that run equally well as a pass.
But you said that there's nothing really new you can do in terms of coverages. Is there anything different you can do in terms of disguises? I mean,
every week Peyton faces guys that give him different disguises. Every week people try to do different things. I know a couple of years ago, Coach LeBeau, and it was kind of the vogue against Peyton, they'd wait to 9 seconds or left on a play clock, and then you show your hand from there. Peyton has seen it all. He has a whole plan, and as you watch them, the more you disguise and so shells, the more the quick ball comes out to the guy that's faking high, like he's in a cover two or a quarter, and he runs down to get his low flat or his man, and it's a 5, 6, 7, 8 yard gain because it's caught. So you've got to be careful in how much you disguise and don't disguise. It can't be all disguise. It can't be no disguise. Again, it's a mix. The challenge that we have is to mix up our looks, our disguises, our pressure, our non-pressure, and try to keep him off balance. And that's a heck of a challenge because he's seen so much.
What do you think of Vinny Curry?
Vinny had a good day. He had a good day. He's a good pass rusher. He really is. And he's getting better at the two-gap stuff. So we're excited about Vinny. And each week, you know, different things go into it. But Vinny had a nice game. He had a couple of nice pressures. Yeah, there's a good chance he is. Again, those are decisions. The active, inactive is really right at the end of the week, and he's in the conversation either way.
Play generally deep. Usually that's Nate, but he plays very deep on most snaps. Is that why is that, and can that influence plays at him getting to a play in time?
The depth of the safeties varies with call, and sometimes we are playing too deep. I'm trying to tighten that down a little bit, and sometimes he's at the right depth. So the call will vary, and what we're getting, again, what is presenting to us. Sometimes if we're getting a lot of the deep overs or vertical passing game with max protection, we'll deepen those guys up in order to make the plays on the deeper ball. If we're getting more of the shorter, quicker stuff, we'll tighten them. So that varies by plan, by call.
A lot of injuries on that offensive line. Why have teams been unable to take advantage of that? Is that the quarterback?
It's great. The ball's out so quick. He's very aware of the strengths and weaknesses. He sets a protection. He knows where he's protected and where he's not. You've got to win those one-on-ones is really the key. But Peyton slides his protection where he wants it. He manipulates it off the look, and then he gets the ball out quick. It is a high efficient. That's why he's so efficient against the pressure. Is you can pressure, you can have an unblocked man on Peyton, and he's still going to get it off. And he's got the height and the vision, and he's got he's a total package right now.
You mentioned the two. I know you're few years removed, but what do you remember about coaching Dominique Roger-Cromartie in Arizona?
Dominique was a young player. He was a rookie. He was very quiet, actually, when we had him. He was trying to find his way through the NFL. Very quick, very explosive. Probably the best burst of any corner that I've been around. Great ball skills. Dominique as a young player was exciting to coach and fun to be around.
You mentioned the 2010 game when the Eagles played the Colts and Sean McDermott's game plan. Is there anything you can – you said you studied that. Is there any, without giving away any X's and O's, anything that you can share with us that you – picked up from that you liked or that you think is good? Or
again, they executed well, and they within their scheme, I think they presented Peyton some looks that he wasn't familiar with, and I think it slowed him down a little bit, and I believe they had a couple turnovers that helped. And again, it comes back to if Peyton will turn the ball over, and he hasn't yet, it levels the playing field. Like most anybody, it's not just Peyton, it's anybody, but really, when somebody's this efficient, the turnovers and getting them to punt and getting our offense the ball is the key.